Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the June 27, 2016 Finance and Facilities Committee meeting. Is there anybody who wants to make public comment? Mr. Cooper.
Thank you. Unfortunately, it appears that two people I wanted to talk to are not here on the bookends tonight, but...
I'm sorry, Jeff. Are we live streaming?
No, not
that. Okay, all right. Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But in lieu of Mr. Boczynski and Escalante not being here, in their place is Ms. Nelson, just as good. So there's going to be discussion on the budget apparently tonight during this meeting, and I guess there's going to be something going on later tonight. And I think I alluded to this last time, but it needs to be brought out again. So we're going to present the budget to the superintendent. And for I don't know how many months, I've made it my business to bring up all kinds of issues, specifically the three biggest ones would be the TRS. We could have saved the last this year going forward. We could have saved probably $210,000, $20,000. We had also the cell phones, we could save going forward on that, still giving a stipend, maybe $15,000-$18,000 a year. Memberships to lend, which I mentioned, which to this point I've still never been contacted as a community member by lend, and you're on the board, so I guess they don't contact anyone. If someone is more clued in as a citizen, I don't know who they are. So maybe lend doesn't really mean what they say. But anyways, getting back to the main point, I've got things suggested close to $250,000 in savings for next year alone. Your comment sometime during one of those discussions was we'll have to look elsewhere to try to save a couple $100,000. Well, we're ready to present the budget to the public. It doesn't appear that a word has been uttered in public by you specifically.
30 seconds, Mr. Cooper.
It doesn't look like anything has been brought forward to the public by anyone on the board that I've been trying to reach. They have terms for things like that, but we won't say those things in the public, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, they'd say full of it, okay? It's time
10 seconds.
You stood up and did something about the budget, or don't tell me that you're transparent and fiscally responsible and all those things, because you're not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you. Thanks, Mr. Cooper.
No one else here. Review and approval of minutes. Kurt, I think you were the only one here from the last meeting, if I'm looking. Yeah. Drew, yeah, you at the finance committee. It was just you and Joe.
Yep.
So you okay with the minutes?
Yep.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Okay. This is a conversation about the 2016-2017 tentative budget discussion. I know Cheryl has opening statements and comments to make, and then we'll jump into the question answer portion of the budget. Cheryl?
We have redistributed the budget, and you'll notice that we did add the new reports that we talked about. We did our best to create these reports and present them for you. So you will see, beginning on page 33, you'll find a new summary of expenditures by program area. This was something that Stephanie was actually describing, and we talked about a little bit. And what we did is we actually took some of our actual history out of our software system. We downloaded it to the PMA, their new forecasting tool, our 16 budget and our 17 budget, and then you can use that tool to actually create some reports that you can't exactly get out of our software using pivot tables and other things like that. And so this is actually what Stephanie was describing. This is the program area, and then the type of expenditures in each program area and that historical perspective. And what I want to try to do is now when you see our five-year plan, our budget, our comprehensive annual financial statement, you'll see the same categories and you'll see data presented in the same way, and then you can move between these documents and it'll be very familiar to you. So I hope that meets some of your needs. And then the other thing that we worked on is beginning on page 16, we talked a lot about staffing charts in the last meeting. and looking at staffing by program area, the FTE in those program areas, and the dollar amount. And then, so we worked on several pivot tables. A lot of this information is right out of the SkyWord system. Again, we want to go right to source data and just use our source data in presenting documents to the Board of Education. And so we created these pivot tables out of the Human Resources Employee Management System. And then we looked at it three different ways, by the program area, by the group, and then the dollar amounts by the program area. And we've given you the information from 15-16 and 16-17. And so the 15-16 data is the actual staffing. So you will know, like, for instance, my position, that was not filled for part of the year, and so it's not one full FTE.
Right.
The other thing we have been talking a lot about here internally and have recalculated is actually full-time equivalency, and what that means, rather than counting noses, counting actual full-time equivalency based on an annual year, you know, a full year, full-time position, full year. Now, it's industry standard that teachers, their contract, that's one position, even though it's not 12 months, so all teachers are counted like that. Their one-year full-time position is a one, but the rest of the staff, where there are some 10-month staff and some 12-month staff, some people work 2 hours a day, some people work 8 hours a day. Now we're calculating that full-time equivalency based on a full-year full-time position, and then we can monitor more closely if we move somebody from working 2 hours a day to 8 hours or 10 months to 12 months, and so we'll be developing that consistency over time. And that is presented, the 15-16 data is presented in that way, and then we're presenting the 16-17 data in that way. And it's actual 15-16 to projected budget in 16-17. After going through all of the staffing and working through all that and comparing that, and then comparing that to the budget, as you know, Becky started the budget, and then I came in May, and working through yet. We continue to staff and we're continuing to enroll and register students. You know that we've made some changes along the way. I adjusted the budget slightly by $285,000 and moved things into the proper categories. Mm-hmm. And so overall, all the change from the last document that you saw is in the education fund and the salary line item, in the areas of special education, ESL, dual language, and in pupil support services for speech pathology. So those are where all the changes are. Everything else in the document remains the same except for change. We updated all the narrative for the dollar changes and percentage changes and added more narrative about staffing, those kinds of things. So this is still a work in progress, and we'll actually be adding even more things before that time frame and when we do the final vote in September. And then in September, we'll be bringing the five-year projections based on what we have before us. We'll lay in the 16-17 budget. We'll project out into the future 5 years is what we have talked about. Any new information we glean from the state along the way, we'll incorporate. If anything changes, something has got to happen. We'll incorporate that into the budget. And then in that September time frame, when we're looking at that five-year plan, we're actually kicking off the budgeting for the next year. And so right in September, we'll start that process. Any other kind of questions, comments about the report and the new reports before you? Anything that maybe I should have covered in this?
Board members?
The page number changed, but you had you provided a I think it's on page 6 in the new one I had.
Okay.
In the new one. It's the table of local property taxes. Is it 5 or 6 on there?
This one?
So we have on 6.
No, it's 2.
The CPI and
right. Yeah, the two tables.
Property taxes.
Yep. So I had a question about the tax collections, because you note there that, because I'm sure we've seen this chart, but it hadn't been described. But the 2014 tax collections are at the same level as in prior years. So we're doing a look back. So you said this budget is developed based on this information. Can you explain that? Because I think it's important, but it's in layperson's terms. Yeah.
In the five-year projections, and then when we take that data and start the budget, when we project the property taxes, we know that we will not collect every dollar. So when we actually incorporate the CPI, the value of new property, then in those projections we say, well, we're going to collect about 99%, 99.5% of that value. Because we will only receive what is collected.
Right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding that, so that hasn't changed over time.
Right. And P-tabs, if we have a P-tab, that can actually reduce that, but it appears as though we've been pretty fortunate here with the collections, even with the P-tab reductions.
Okay.
And then in January of 2017, then on the next page for CPI, we're going to get those figures. Is there any, you know, I remember in the past, in the fall, we get a sense of what that might be. There's some idea around that. But, I mean, we're
and
just
I monitor it, yeah. And it's trending pretty nicely. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps it will be better than we have seen in the past. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have seen late in the fall, sometimes late as December, where it just dives. But so far, it's right. Trending nicely.
Mm-hmm. When you say nicely, you mean?
Closer to maybe two.
Mm-hmm. Which would be a big change.
Now we use in our projection models a trend, you know, a historical trend.
Right.
My questions are mostly just informational, and we can go offline on that when we get together, because I had purposely deferred because I knew you were scrambling trying to get stuff done this past week, and that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, no problem at all.
All right. Thank you, Willie.
Yeah, I just had one comment. I'll reiterate my frustration with, and again, this is not anything to do with Cheryl, because I know that she's, you know, new, but we also had people in place and a team in place the entire last year, and when we talk about in our memo that it's been collaboratively developed with district and building administrators, that's probably true, because it hasn't been collaboratively developed with the board. So I'm going to continue to have issues with this all the way through September, because when board members are told, hey, we can't make any adjustments to this budget, we can't do anything with it, when we were told, when we talked about places we could save dollars, and we were told that all the way through last year that we were going to do it during the budgeting process, and then all of a sudden we're told, nope, can't happen, I'm going to continue to say it. It's completely frustrating to me. It's frustrating to me that fellow board members don't. I mean, if we're in the weeds and other things, I'm not sure what we're supposed to be doing here. You know, because this is absolutely what we're supposed to be doing here, is going through the budget. So we talk about it at one meeting, talk about finance. We're going to go ahead tonight and approve to show the public what the budget is, and the board has had absolutely no say in it. So.
The only thing I would say is at the finance committee meetings, we brought forward all the additional personnel requests. Lori has presented five different meetings, Lori, somewhere around there. So I would say there has been some collaboration. Is it at the level that you were expecting? I absolutely respect what you're saying.
So I think that's directed partly toward me, so I'll accept that lob and I'll pick it up.
No, it's directed at any board member that's a fellow board member that's
here
and thinks that what happened last meeting is acceptable, to have a board member say, we should have a say in here, we should be looking at ways we can reduce things within the budget. And other than Mrs. Clark, every other board member sat here and said nothing. And if this isn't what we're here for, I said it last time, I'll go home and fish or watch TV, because there's no point in us sitting here. Because this is absolutely what we do. This is the most important thing that we do. And then we look for accountability from our staff for the rest of it. And the fact that we do that and we're told, no, you know what, we have a new person in place. Look, we had people in place. So these things should have been developed, and they should have just been handed off like a baton to Cheryl as she came in, and none of that occurred. So, so if you want to take it as a lob, yes, you were the one that continued to tell me over and over again.
Well,
we haven't done it.
Well, let me respond to have this discussion, which is where we should be having it. There are a couple of things. First of all, the board has had conversations, starting with Finance Committee, and into the committee of the whole when the board, when finance would come and we would ask questions, comments around the discussion around issues, and I'll raise them. TRS, which the board had lengthy discussion around and came to consensus to leave it as is. So that was an area where there could be a cut. That was a board discussion, and the board came to consensus to leave that as is.
But you,
so
you
that
said
was one.
At that time that these discussions
so that
should
was
be occurring
one.
At the budget, during budget process.
And we were discussing it during that transition with from Bob Cicerella to Becky Allard. We had these conversations in with this board,
this is the
with
budget,
you.
This is the budget time that we're
so,
talking about.
No, this is early in the year.
We
discussed, so the board, we'll go back and look, the board talked about TRS over at least a couple of meetings and came to
and
consensus on that. The second one,
the budget cycle.
That is the budget cycle. We were
no,
discussing
this is,
it.
This is now when we're talking about the budget. You kicked the can down the road.
No.
You did.
If
you
there,
came
no.
down the road and said, we need to talk about, these are budget discussions, Kurt, you continued to say.
If the board had come to consensus in a different way, in other words, take TRS, that percentage, from the administrator contracts, that would have been plugged in to this budget because we were discussing it at the time. Is that correct?
That's correct. It would have
correct.
Been for the
right. And the,
bu-
and the board,
budget.
By consensus, in discussion, chose to leave that as is. The other thing, and you're, that we're talking about, is in some ways is hiring, and I think this was a factor, and this was brought up. I don't know if it was in finance, but some discussion around with the GIA retirements. So we had 14 GIA retirees, and that is a staff decision in terms of how we can replace those, and there's always been conversation around being able to hire at the best possible level we can, recognizing that there are savings to be accrued when you retire more veteran teachers. That's just a natural rotation. And in fact, the budget represents that. The replacement cost for retirees is $798,000 for a savings of $797,917. That's a savings to the budget that we were able to identify, and I know we talked about staffing, on you know, for months because that's the biggest piece of our budget,
so
and
is
so
our budget going down that amount.
That is a cost savings for this. So you're asking me where there have been discussions around cost savings. The third one I know is around programs that we've had some discussion about. That I know Stephanie raised at the last meeting that I brought up. As that both philosophical and practical discussion about whether or not you agree with certain positions that are either you considered valuable to the district, a priority for the district, or not. And again, that discussion the board had and the direction, I mean, my comments around the budget is that this is an educationally based budget with the direction of the board represented in the budget. So we're talking about inquiry-based learning, problem-based learning coaches. I know that's an area that you're going to raise, that will be raised when we move into September for a new budget cycle. I get that. We'll raise it again. We'll talk about it. But that
We've
was also discussed.
We've never talked about PBL coaches.
Sure we have.
No, we haven't. We've never talked about VODA. All the things that you've cited were brought forward by Mrs. Parker and myself. They were never going to be part of any budget cycle. So let's
your definition, Kurt,
no,
if I can finish
never,
my thought.
These things were
these
never anything
issues
you were
going
raised. To bring up. These were brought up by some were brought up by a resident that we actually wanted people to
and the board discussed it.
They did, but you
right.
act as if these are things as you speak.
I'm
and
not.
This is so
no,
you
don't.
Act as
no,
if these are things.
Kurt,
that you
please be
forward.
Respectful.
So
I have not said
so
in the last
America.
10. Kurt,
is
I have
so
not said in the last 10 minutes that Erica Nelson raised these. I said the board discussed this. The board came to consensus. That's what we do. We're a board. We speak with one voice on this. I know we have disagreements, and that's why we have the discussion. But I, in no way, for the record, said that these were my ideas. I said, in response to your question about how we discussed this, the board has discussed
but
this.
But you made a statement. We saved $797,000.
I'm saying
that
this
savings
is
from year to year to the taxpayer.
That
we spent it
that
somewhere else.
That
That's
is
the problem.
Well, then we're talking in September about reducing the budget and a levy conversation at the same time. And that's where Cheryl will bring her expertise to the discussion. And that is. This is not just wrapped up in reducing the budget and direct savings to the taxpayers. It's all included in terms of how we levy. And the other thing is, and this is something I think is important to understand, is that when we talk about the budget, an educational budget, and I went online, I looked at DuPage County budget, I looked at a couple other district budgets, I looked at Glen Ellen's budget, Wheaton City Council budget, which is part of my tax bill since I live in Wheaton and I pay to both. And one of the things that we also don't give context to, which is part of the challenge, and I understand that, is the fact that an education budget's resource is from property taxes. We don't have sales tax or other user fees that we draw on. The College of DuPage's budget is, I think, $172 million. $60 million of it is tuition. $79 million, I think, of it, or $70 million, is property taxes. So we don't have the ability to draw on other resources as a school district. And to your point, Kurt, that is why these budgets and the detail in which Cheryl has presented this budget is so important for the community to see. Because then that's the reality check about what we provide as resources. So these are not my ideas, but I'm saying the board has discussed them, that it is not fair or accurate to say we had no discussion around this. We did.
I guess, you know, first I'd like to say, and I do have a couple of questions about Cheryl's stuff here.
Okay.
I really appreciate this. I appreciate the detail that went into it. I'm going to come back to that in a second.
Okay.
But just to respond to Erica and Kurt's discussion, you know, the frustration is that when we talked about TRS, for example, I agree that we didn't say we're going to cut TRS when we talk about the budget next year, but it was definitively said as part of the reasoning for why we weren't going to cut TRS that these are the type of discussions that we should be having when we talk about the budget next year. That's what was said. And we've never had those discussions, whether it be TRS, cell phones, how much we're spending on technology. I feel like any time there's been a discussion where we could actually look to maybe have some savings, the answer always was, well, now's not the best time to talk about it. We are going to have those discussions when we talk about the budget. That is what happened. And it is for a fact what happened, and we've never had those conversations, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating. I feel like we kicked it down the road, and this has nothing to do with Cheryl. I understand her being new to the position, but there's no reason that the board couldn't have been having these discussions with Becky or whoever as far as where can we look to have some savings. As Kurt just said, we mentioned we saved $790,000 on retirees, but our budget didn't
I mentioned
down.
That.
Well,
I brought that up.
You brought that up, sorry.
Right. And throughout the budget, there are a lot of examples of that.
Could I finish?
But sure.
We've never sat down and talked about that, and clearly if we've had reductions in areas, then the board should be made aware of it, but then we've obviously had increases in other areas because we haven't seen a decrease in our budget overall, and I think what we are looking for is can we start to decrease our budget? I know it's one of Paul's goals is to try to decrease our budget. And I think that's the frustration at this point. It has nothing to do with having a new director of finance. It has to do with the fact that the board, we've talked all year, we've kind of delayed things to, well, we can talk about this when we talk about the budget. Instead of cutting TRS, we can save $200,000 elsewhere in the budget. We need to look elsewhere in it. And we've never had those discussions. And I share Kurt's frustration with it. And it's not a reflection on the budget that's been put together. It's just a reflection on the process that we have, and we really don't have a say. I feel like I don't even have a say in the budget at this point because it's done. It's going to be done. We want to post it. We're not actually having a discussion and delving into the budget. You know, some areas, reductions we could make, I'll just name some that I wrote down, like cell phones. I still question our cell phone usage. Why do all of our administration need cell phones? I know in our elementary buildings they use walkie-talkies for communication. Do they need cell phones too? That you brought up PBL coaches. The only thing I'm going to say about that is the suggestion that was made by Kurt about PBL coaches wasn't to eliminate all PBL coaches. We're going to get rid of PBLs. I think you're turning this into this fundamental.
I'm saying that there's a practical discussion to have.
Could I finish what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What he suggested was, which I think was a valid suggestion, that the original vision for PBLs was much bigger, and it's been scaled back. And do we need as many coaches? And, for example, we've had three of our PBL coaches have left the position. Could we evaluate, are we going to fill those positions? Maybe this is an opportunity that that staff got reallocated within our district. Maybe we don't need all four PBL positions. Maybe these are discussions that should be had. If that is not a discussion on philosophically what we're doing, it's
an educational program discussion, and the value of that is what
I
said.
But we had no discussion about that at all, or no update at all, and I think it was a valid point when he brought it up, and it was brought up, and then it's never discussed again. You know, Kurt asked about AEC teachers, and we got a report recently about, you know, what they're doing and what their day looks like. I mean, I look at our AEC teachers' day, the amount of time that they spend actually teaching AEC is not a full-time position. And we're filling their days doing other things like enrichment or interventions, and it's actually inconsistent across the district. At our four elementary schools, we have our AEC teachers. The only consistent thing is they do grade 4 and grade 5 AEC. But beyond that, it's inconsistent. Maybe that should be a part-time position. Like, these are discussions that should be had at some level, or updating us on some level. And there's nothing that's going to be done about it now, but I think that's where my frustration is. I mean, technology. I asked about technology. We could save money. If we don't, do we really need one-to-one laptops down to first grade?
But we had that conversation.
But when we had that conversation,
the same thing was, well, we're not going to save the money here, but when we talk about the budget, we can look for other ways to save the money. But anytime there's been a conversation where we actually could maybe realize the savings, the answer's always been, oh, well, we'll talk about other things when we talk about the budget.
Well, for
2 years from now. We should have said, well, not for next year. It's going to be for a budget 2 years from now, because you guys aren't going to be able to do anything about the budget for next year.
The computer one, though, was. There are aspects that I absolutely agree with. But on the computer piece, that was a hard conversation here that the board had.
That was based on lots of data, lots of discussion. That was a 4-3 vote. I mean, board members took positions on that, mm-hmm. did our homework. Teachers presented. That was a great example of making a decision.
Maybe that wasn't the best example. Okay. I could say student fees was one where we tried to eliminate student fees, and I know part of it was we're not comfortable with doing that right now. We have to look at we're worried about our state funding, but then, you know, we're willing to just, you know.
But that was a board decision as well. I mean, what you're raising
we've made no efforts as a board to reduce anything. We've made no efforts to do
I disagree with that
we've
because
it,
in
we
these.
We've made no efforts to do it, I don't think.
Your discussion around the effort is what we're talking about in terms of even looking in this budget. So one of the things that, you know, you brought up was this discussion, was this presentation of adding aides for special education, which is it's a big number. And
it might show that we brought people back and didn't have enough to begin with, which then I question the administrative decision.
Well, let me finish what I was going to say.
On that whole part of it,
I trust our director of student services, and I trust Lori's staffing models that in fact that's necessary. That's an add to the budget, which I think is important, and so that is a value decision for the board to say, in order to do this effectively, at a minimum, well or best practice, you have to have the people in the positions.
The funny thing is, I said the exact same thing last year when our director of student services stood in front of us and said, we're bringing back a bunch of students back to our district, and we're going to save $200,000 in tuition payments for them, and we don't have any full-time staff increase. And I said then, a year ago, how is that possible?
Yep, she was asking that
question. I questioned that then. So
staff.
now we're heroes because we're adding the staff that a year ago I said.
I didn't. That's your term. I didn't use that term.
Where's the accountability?
I didn't use that term.
For the staff missed on that. And so we didn't provide, and it came through the other night when I was there. Our staff messed that up. Sorry to say it any other way.
You know what?
We saw. No, I can't say it any other way. I sat there. You were not there. I sat there and listened to parents who were in tears talk about how their children were taken care of last year, and we understaffed it when we brought people back. And Stephanie talked about it, and it wasn't anybody on staff that decided we needed to do this. It was surveys. It finally took 25 or 30 special ed parents to come here for any traction to be done. We had to hit rock bottom for the staff to actually take it seriously. And Stephanie was the one that had the vision to say that this is it. And here we come back again. Who's accountable for that? Who's accountable for understaffing in an area that we should have been staffed properly for, and we don't ever have any of those discussions? And when you talk about a guy getting frustrated around here, I'm getting frustrated because I'm connecting all these dots and nothing ever happens. And, you know, we got people sitting up in the balcony, and I've said it before, they're falling asleep. They're not doing their homework up here because we are the people up here that should be asking for accountability, making sure that every dollar spent is being spent properly, and that it's being allocated to the proper resources.
All right, going back to your questions, how about because we've got 15 minutes.
My question's on other subjects. I just wanted to know, page 33, the education fund expenditures. And I apologize if I asked this before, I can't remember. But I just wanted to know what exactly falls into the buckets. Like we see bilingual programs, is that just our dual language, or does that also include ELL? Like where does that fall within the bucket?
So if you turn the page over to 29, I guess I should mention this. Before going into the analysis by program area, I described what is in each of the major categories to make it a little easier in reading this, because it is a very good comment. How do we know where these different...
What's
what
in
goes into the different program areas. And so what was your specific area you were asking about?
ESL support service?
Like bilingual.
ELL, this ELL, is that dual
services.
Language and...
Yes.
That's both under bilingual.
Correct.
And then summer and gifted, what exactly was that? Summer school... And I'm surprised to see those two together.
So those are other instructional. Well, yeah, this is defined by the Illinois State Board of Education.
Yeah, this is an
categories, and so other instructional that's not regular day-to-day education,
okay.
What they call the regular classroom, those are in the other instructional. So it's that bottom paragraph just before the chart.
On page 20, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it looks like, the page looks like this on 29.
So it starts with the charts below summarized.
Just before I go into the analysis of the program areas, and I describe them. And I did insert that was not there before, so you might not seen that.
Does that add?
Yeah.
Does that answer it, Stephanie?
Mm-hmm. And then one thing I was wondering, and I know this would be a huge chart to put in to the report because it's going to be really small, but you have the staffing, and you give us the positions and then the number at each school. And then on the separate chart, you give us the positions and then the total salaries for that headcount. And I was wondering if there's any way to create a chart where you could combine it so you could see the headcount by, like, for example, Abraham Lincoln, and then headcount salary, Franklin headcount salary. So it's easier when you see a salary of...
I might be able to do that.
$2 million for the teacher. You know how many teachers it are. You don't have to cross-reference back to here. It would be a really big chart. Maybe we could just get it electronically.
You could, put it up
here. It's a ledger size. Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, because I flipped back. So, for instance, under instructional coaches, there's two in each of the schools, except for Churchill, where there's three.
Right.
So those salaries reflect three full salaries. Yeah.
So if you don't, I mean, when you're looking at the totals here, you have to kind of cross-reference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's
true.
So for every school, so you would have a... Would it be a...
You would just basically combine the two charts to have, the column for the headcount, the salary, headcount, salary.
But a grand total, would it be a grand total? It wouldn't be by school, each school, would it?
Well, no, just like we have here.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
It's really just what you have here. Just
without all...
Yeah, try to combine those two. It's really big.
Would it make sense for where you know there's multiple positions represented in the salary? So in other words, the salary is not just for one FTE. That could be included, just so that it shows that. Because that's really the question. What does $147,000 represent?
I just think, I mean, that's going to be hard.
I don't know what's easier.
Let me give it a try.
I don't think you want to have to manually put that in here.
Right. It all is better than...
So we'll look at it for the full budget.
So here's the headcount. But then this chart here has the salary. So for example here, assistant principal at Abe Lincoln 1. On this chart, you have assistant principal Abe Lincoln. That's the salary.
So you want that salary number.
But so you want to know how many positions that is, because when you move down here to clerical support staff, you have two, and the salary, you know, you take that salary, that's divided, well, not divided by two people, but that's the salary of two people combined.
Think I can do it.
So it's more just to know when you're looking at the number, like teachers is $2.3 million.
Or is it, can you do on an Excel, like click on it and have a drop down?
Otherwise, you have to flip back to this chart and see what the number of teachers.
Yeah, to pick a table.
It's more just for reference, but.
If it can work.
I don't want to make.
If it can work, she'll look at her pivot charts and go crazy on those.
I understand what you're looking for. So ideally, it would be this chart, and you have that figure there, and down here, you have the new language you have.
Well, I think you just add the column. You add the extra column to every
chart, just because then it pushes out further. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. All right, so Cheryl's going to try that. She's going to see what it looks like.
And I have
other questions?
I have one other budget question. There was a decrease in the expenditures, Cheryl. There was a decrease in central administration of a little over 15%, or $516,000. What did that encompass?
That's in the technology
in
area.
The tech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
about,
right.
We talked about a lot less technology this is Mike's work.
Do leases.
And lease area.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We reduced in leases.
Other,
that's right.
Some tuition costs there. Actually, she kind of alluded to the tuition cost savings. With the other category.
Got it. Okay.
I had another question. Will we ever update our expenditures? We show for 15-16 budget. But once we
actuals,
finish out the year,
yeah.
Will we put actuals in there?
Yes. Yeah, we're not done. We're not done yet, and we're preparing for the audit. I'm hopeful that in that September time frame, we're far enough along in the audit that then I can give you the actual comparison to actual. It's typically what I do.
Are we finish our fiscal year this week? But when does it all kind of fall into place in terms of vendor payouts and all that other stuff?
So hopefully in July, we'll be paying off all the vendors and everything for all of the goods and products and services that we have received through June. So we'll be processing all of those.
Right.
For our financial statements accrual basis, we do recognize revenue for grants and other revenue 60 days past the end of the fiscal year. So you wait that 60 days to see what you collect here. Not really sure what all you're going to collect. And so then we can wrap it up, and then the auditors come in and take a look. And so hopefully, just in September, when we take that final vote, I can drop in the actuals, or at least I can tell you they're unaudited, but we're pretty sure that they're close.
Close, yeah. Okay.
So I'll tell you at that time.
Patrick, Drew?
Yeah, I got a couple questions.
Yep.
Cheryl, so when do we want to discuss this recommendation for the operating fund balance, 30% reserve?
I'm ready to give a suggestion, a recommendation.
Yeah.
Not September at all, but I would say, here's what I would say. We are looking at a lot of capital projects. We are going to be talking about the health, life, safety, decennial review. I personally don't know what will be identified on that listing, but we have to do those projects. We do not have a lot of debt service extension capacity right now, and so we might have to be very shortly talking about using some of that fund balance, our debt service extension base, to do those life safety projects that we will be required to do with the decennial review. So,
what is that exactly?
The health, life, safety. So we're actually going to talk about that tonight. Every 10 years, we're required by the Illinois State Board of Education to review all of our buildings and it's an audit. Our architect is required to do that. They go in great detail, and they note any kinds of facility violations. Some of them are the age of the facility, all kinds of things like that, and they very carefully note those. They do a report to the Board of Education, a report to the Illinois State Board of Education. They list those in priority order, and then there's a time frame in which we must correct those. There's no special funding that comes with it, though. So that report, we're voting on that tonight. It's time, and we have to do that. Green Associates, I'm kind of going into that agenda item, but you know, Green Associates is our new architect, and so that work would be awarded to them. And they'd like to start here in the summer because it's a little easier to get through the buildings when the students are not there. And then get that report this fall.
We'll get the pass-fail report in the fall and the possible cost of remediation.
Correct.
It's not really, I wouldn't characterize it as a pass-fail. It's a listing of citations, sightings that they find that we need to correct.
Those are all required?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How often is this done?
10 years.
Every 10 years.
Every 10 years. What happened 10 years ago? A lot of
our capital projects were based off of that,
right,
that life safety report, and they were plugged into the various years. Just as an example, one of the things here at CSO code requires that we have an elevator or some type of a lift because we have an upstairs and a downstairs. Mm-hmm. So that's like a thing that they add onto that life safety report.
Right.
It's something that
it rolls up.
Right. And yep. So that's kind of like high priority. They look at exhaust fans. They look at all the wooden stair treads, the concrete around the buildings. They mm-hmm. look at all that stuff. So then they just kind of rank them as just prioritize, you know, what's really severe, what can be trip hazards.
Okay.
Then we get that report, and we'll plug them into capitals and operating expenses.
Can you explain to me what disconnected or what got disconnected with the financial profile or the Moody's rating services? I know something changed with Moody's, but did that impact us directly or indirectly? And I ask that because I have a follow-up question. Did we now tie our budget thought process to the Moody's, or should we still continue concentrating on the financial recognition of the state board?
Well, if we do seek debt in the future, I can go to the rating agencies and we could do rating. I have participated in that and actually moved from a lower rating to AAA before. I've done about 6 of those interviews before. So usually that rating comes out when you're issuing debt. The financial profile, because we've used some fund balances, the financial profile did tick down a little bit. And we have to be aware if we do use some fund balance, that will happen. Moody's, they might not give us as high a rating. They will ask a lot of questions about fund balance. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the financial profile. So fund balance is an important component here in the state of Illinois because we're so reliant on property taxes and how we receive those property taxes basically mm-hmm. twice a year.
Right, right. But with the state of Illinois, what it is, it's pot calling kettle, right, sometimes. So I guess my question is, are we prepared to start having a conversation from a policy conversation, Erica, about the 25% fund balances mm-hmm. as a policy and say, you know, in the economic environment that we're in now, maybe it's time for a conversation to say mm-hmm. 20%, and if 20%, is that going to keep us in good graces with our financial profile scores to allow us mm-hmm. to give us a little bit more off the edges in terms of property taxes, state funding, and that?
Right. So the fiscal philosophy is an AP, it's an administrative procedure. So it's in our, it's under our operational services admin procedure as a fiscal philosophy. It's not policy, but it's this, again, guidance, right,
guidance.
To our assistant superintendent. I had put the same question down on that page, too, actually, because when I looked at Glenbard District 87's budget and their Moody's rating, we're in the same rating area. Theirs is one tick up. But we're in the same area in terms of high credit score, very positive, in terms of our credit rating. But I was asking the question how, because we brought this up before, how does the district reserve fund of that 25% administrative procedure, our philosophy, impact our ability to borrow or...
It's not only that, but I'm thinking, you know, should something happen with the state funding and all that, should we be prepared to already say we want to go to 22%? So if something comes in the fall session that says D41 is not getting their $2 million,
mm-hmm.
we've aligned ourselves from a AP perspective going forward into the budget that says.
But ticking it down is the opposite of what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, if we went to 30%, it would be, because I asked this question about that chart with the 3 months. We're at 3.62 months or whatever, right?
Right.
And I know that you've raised that. It's not your experience from Nutrier. It wasn't your experience in your previous districts to have as low a threshold on our fund balance. So that is
That's
a part of our
district
conversation.
To district,
yeah.
Depending on their mix of property tax and state tax.
That's right.
And Nutrier is even more property tax reliant than we are. It's a really good conversation for that financial task force to actually ask ourselves that question,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lag here, and when you set that levy and when you receive that revenue, so you can't change things immediately, and you have to be very aware of that.
Right.
It's a very important conversation, particularly in the state of Illinois. I think it should be carefully considered.
Yeah, I have that on the list of those like items that we've been collecting.
It's a very good debate for a committee like that.
Yeah,
Drew,
Cheryl, just piggybacking to that comment, is that something that should start in the finance committee and say this is a situation that should be discussed in finance, and the administration should make a recommendation that vetted through finance and brought to the full board?
You know, that's really the board's pleasure to have that conversation in finance. To use your finance task force and some of the expertise in your community, if you would like, for some of those really difficult philosophical questions, that's really to the board's pleasure. Either way, I'm ready to have that conversation. I would just say to you professionally, I think you should carefully consider it with deliberation, you know, given where we are at. We're in Illinois.
But my concern is that if we wait to convene a task force, then we're, you know, depending on the timing of that, you know, it might put us kind of behind the eight ball. If we start talking about it at finance and bring it back into a board discussion, you know, at least we're a little bit ahead of the curve.
We are property tax reliant, but I mean, I'm looking at the percent of tax collection. I mean, I'd love to have my business at collecting 99.9% of its revenue every year and guaranteeing it. So when we talk about being scared about some of the stuff, I absolutely understand how you have to be cautious, and we all should be cautious. But we have, other than the state of Illinois, who, again, we can make statements about this, but the reality is they're politicians. Politicians are not going to go ahead and cut off their nose. They're going to go ahead and, at some point, they're going to get this straightened out, and they're going to fund. They're not going to. I firmly believe that. All the rhetoric, when you look beyond the smoke, they've got to fund the districts. But, I mean, we're collecting, I mean, you know, 99.8, 99.6. I mean, we have a guaranteed revenue source. And that, even though our district is a bit unique, we're lucky that we have constituents. Most of our constituent base can afford to pay their tax payments. So we've got most of our revenue is going to come in. So
most of it. That's true, but there's the equity question in the state of Illinois. In most states in the country, that question has been resolved. And I think that for us, state revenue will be the question. You're right about property taxes, and we're very fortunate that in our community, most of our revenue comes from property taxes. But to solve that equity question in the state of Illinois, and having participated in some of those conversations about a new formula, chances of a Glen Ellyn school district continuing to see state taxes at the level that it is, and solve that equity question is probably pretty slim. So mm-hmm. the risk is on the state revenues.
Yeah, I tend to disagree. They're politicians. Again, the reps in our area are politicians. So you know, I've listened to it, and it's always been kind of a reason not to do things around here, but we continue to get our state payment. The governor's allocated, he's even talked about trying to allocate more money, to districts for education. So, again, I understand you have to be cautious on it. I'm not as nervous about it. So
one of the two ways is bringing it to the community finance committee.
The community finance committee, I think, mm-hmm. where we probably need to, this is just my opinion, but we need to probably get moving on that and start having them delve into, as I've stated before, we have some really smart people here, much smarter than I am, and have them start looking at this kind of stuff and give us some recommendations on it.
It's a good educational opportunity, too, because this is it's complex. It's a different way to look at budget and how we fund.
Okay, it's 6:50. Any last questions? We need to
thank you for that.
Seat a new board member.
Are we going to get you presented us 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago the draft budget. Are we going to get a draft 5-year projection?
Go for it.
That would be a conversation in the finance committee about the assumptions that go into the 5-year mm-hmm. plan, and then we run all those assumptions we presented to you as conversations.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll close the finance meeting.